Good morning and welcome to the church that meets here in Marlin. Our scripture reading this morning will be coming from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 9 and 10, and I encourage you to follow along. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up.
The scriptures often point to nature for illustration and wisdom. In Proverbs 6 and verse 6, Solomon wrote, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise." Matthew 6 and verses 26 through 28, Jesus said to look at the birds and the lilies. As humans, we can learn an awful lot by observing nature, especially those in the animal kingdom. One of the most interesting, at least I find, is geese. Now, ducks are okay, but they're not all that they're quacked up to be. But geese, I had to get that in, hon, I know. Sorry, I'll hear it later. But geese, if you want to find human traits, look at geese. You know, just as God intended man and woman to mate for life, geese mate for life. They care for their young. They're very protective of their young. One of the most rewarding times, at least that I think I had at camp, was in early spring when the geese would come back. And they seemed to like the lake that we're on. And I would always count the geese. And most of the time there was an odd number because one of the geese had either died or was killed. And they remain single the rest of their life. They don't go out and get another goose to cook. But they would sit there, and as long as you had enough bread, and as long as you were able to put up with what they left behind from the bread, they could become very friendly with you, including the babies. But there's something more important about geese that need to be learned. And this morning, I want us to consider some lessons that geese can teach us as we journey in this life to eternity. You know, geese practices synergy. As each goose flaps its wings, it creates uplift for the birds to follow. By flying in the V formation, the whole flock can add an astounding 71% greater flying range than if they flew by themselves. Now, people who share a common direction and a sense of community can get where they're going quicker and easier, because they are traveling on the thrust of one another. This is the principle of synergy. Synergy is when two or more agents are working together to produce a result that is not attainable by any of the agents working independently. For example, if I was to have a container of nitrogen in this hand and a container of glycerin in this hand and drop them, about the only thing that'll happen is a mess. But if I combine the two, the results are drastically different. That is synergy. This explains the biblical practice of two by two. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 7, it says of Jesus, "And he called unto them the 12 and began to send them two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits." In Luke 10 and verse 1, when Jesus appointed 70 disciples and sent them on what we call now the limited commission, it says that he sent them two by two. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, the Christians in Antioch were there, and the Holy Ghost had told the congregation there to separate Barnabas and Paul from the church in Antioch for another work. You see, God knows that synergy works. And he instilled this trade in geese for their benefit. And I hope that we can understand and acknowledge the wisdom of flocking together. And this is closely related to mutual edification. When a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and the resistance of flying alone. It will quickly move back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front of it. If we have the same sense as a goose, we will stay in formation with those heading to where we want to go. We are willing and need to be willing to accept their help and to give help to others. Strong Christians appreciate mutual edification. Paul wrote in Hebrews 3 in verses 12 through 14, "To take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily," he writes, "while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." But that's not all he had to say about this thing. In Hebrews 10 and verses 24 and 25, he says, "Let us consider one another to provoke love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." The assembling of ourselves, we do that today, but that is not the only assembling that we need to be mindful of. We need to make sure that our days of the week are filled with assembling with like-minded brethren. This is how we encourage and exhort one another. This mutual edification occurs within the context also of the local church, this congregation. Whereas a group of geese are called either a skein when in flight or a gaggle when on the ground, a group of Christians is called a church. You know, geese share the burden. When the lead goose tires, it rotates to the back of the formation, and another goose will move up to the point of the formation. We see this if you ever watch the Tour de France and you watch the cyclist and how they'll get into a line one behind another. This is called pacing, pace lining. And the ones behind are helping. The ones behind, they are creating a draft. I used to use that same principle driving from Grand Forks to Fargo. I would get on the bumper of a semi going the other way that's blocking the wind, and I would watch my gas mileage, miles per gallon, jump up on the car because I didn't have all that resistance. There'd been a lot more resistance if he slammed on the brakes, but I benefited and that didn't happen. It pays to take turns in doing the hard tasks and sharing leadership. As with geese, people, Christians, are interdependent on other skills and capabilities and unique arrangements of gifts and talents and resources. As members of the Lord's body, are we doing our part? In Ephesians 4 and verse 16, Paul writes, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." You know, if you were to take and look at the joint of the knee, for instance, well, it's not that little ball in there that's doing a lot of the work. Sure, it can bend and stuff on its own. It's kind of flopping around. But it uses the muscles around the knee to give it its movement, but it also uses the tendons and ligaments to give it the elasticity to spring it back into place. When one of those things are out of whack, it doesn't function as well as it should. You know, all too often, brethren burn out because others won't help out. And we have to take a consideration of ourselves and where do we fit in that situation? Are we doing our part in the work of the church? I always like the phrase, many hands make light work. And it truly does. It truly does. If you were to go out and re-roof your house, wouldn't you like five guys up on that roof working instead of just one? Because for at least a week, you're going to be putting a tarp on across your roof of the house till it gets finished. You know, geese encourage those who are leading. The geese, when they're flying in formation, they honk to encourage the leader. They're honking to those to keep up their speed. I'm sure they're not honking to say, hey, look, guy, we're going in the wrong direction. You need to turn around. Because I've never seen a V formation make a U-turn. Ever. We need to make sure that our honking is encouraging. In groups where encouragement Where there is encouragement, production is always greater. The power of encouragement is the quality of honking for one to stand by one's heart or core values and to encourage the heart and core values of others. And that should be the purpose of our words, or in the language of the goose, honking, to build others up. Paul in Ephesians 4 and verse 29, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In Colossians 4 and verse 6, he also wrote, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how ye ought to answer every man. You know, many of us have seen that bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus. Well, we need to change that a little bit and edit a little bit to say, honk if you love Jesus and his brethren. You know, geese care for one another. When a goose gets sick, when it is wounded or it is shot down, two geese will drop out of formation and will follow it to the ground. And those two geese will stay with that goose until one, it dies, or it recovers, and then they go and fly and rejoin the flock. Or if they can't catch up to theirs, they will join another flock in formation. If we had as much sense as geese, we will stand by each other in difficult times, as well as when we are strong. Rather, we have a spiritual duty in working together. This comes with benefits. In Galatians 6, in the very first two verses, Paul said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, if God had given these words to the goose, he would have said, flock. If a goose is shot down or hurt, those who are strong go help. But be careful that you don't get shot down too. In our scripture reading in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 10, where Solomon says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has no one other to help him up. Now, if we were to just be able to get a lawn chair out and sit down next to a body of water, and just to watch God's creatures at work, we can learn an awful lot. Many of us are blessed with having animals in our homes and dogs. And we look at the lessons that they teach us about love. They can be punished, but they will continue to lick their master's hand. They will continue to come and want attention. They don't stay mad forever. Now, I'm not saying all geese are wise, because one thing we used to enjoy in North Dakota in the early spring was watch a geese come down to a body of water that was still frozen. It was funny to them to watch them bounce when they hit that hard water. But I guess when you're flying at a couple of hundred feet, that water looks as inviting as a block of clear ice. But we can learn an awful lot. And which is why God had used so many illustrations involving the animal kingdom. But the one thing God didn't do for the animal kingdom that he did for us was to make us in his own image. He gave us the ability to choose. We don't live and grow up by instinct. God didn't instill instinct within us. Yes, there is that motherly instinct that we talk about with a mother with a child. But we, as parents, young parents, we have that newborn and we're kind of in a learning stage ourselves. You know, out there in the portico out there, if you look up in the corner as you're going, there's a robin's nest that sits up there. And with a mom in there that's sitting on the eggs right now. God gave them the ability that once they're grown to be able to do things like that. We can't build a Christian home unless we use God's word to give us the instructions. We can't live the Christian life without this. And God wants us to be an encouragement to one another. He wants us to be able to lift each other up, to help each other when we're wounded, to be able to provide that lift to make the flight home easier. We can only do that together. If every single one of us here scattered today and went our own separate ways, how difficult do you think it would be to remain a Christian? Our power is far greater together than it ever is singly. And we will fly much further. If you are not a Christian, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. We truly do. To be part of this flock. You're not joining a church, you're being added to the church. God is the one that does the adding, not man, not some precept, not some man-made rule, but God's rule. To hear God's word, Romans 17, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. To believe it with all your heart. To repent, to change your life, vow it today. To confess him before men, and he will confess you before his Father in heaven. And to be baptized for the remission of sins. Baptism is a work, it certainly is. But the work is done by God. It is done by God. And from the moment you come up out of that water, you're a new creature. Washed of all your sins. And you have a new start. If that is your desire this morning, we want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you have been flying out of formation for a while. Maybe you're getting tired because you have no one there that's able to lift. You're not drafting behind the flock, and you're struggling to keep in the air. If you need to make things right with God, we want to give you that opportunity also this morning. If you need prayers, the congregation, for whatever reason, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.